There are many people whom I should acknowledge at the outset and whose rishus rightfully should be requested before beginning. I'm afraid that I would omit someone. I'll mention just four representatives, ask their rishus, and then bli neder mitzvah Hashem begin. Rishus Marenu Rabbeinu Rav Schachter, Rishus Rabbi Lam, President Joel, and my mother. In the comments that follow, I'm profoundly indebted to my mother. Not that she had a preview of what I'm going to say, not that she bears any responsibility, but for the following reason. In Adar Sheni of Tavshin Chav Zayin, when my grandmother Aleha Shalom passed away, subsequently the Rav came to live with my parents. My parents embarked on more than a quarter of a century of a labor of love, totally l'shem shamayim, of kibbutz. They weren't looking for any benefit to accrue, but at least from my vantage point, a very definite benefit did accrue. Whatever exposure I had, whatever opportunities I had to interact with the Rav, are all due to that remarkable Mesiras Nefesh of my mother. She should live and be well. And Lahavdil Ben Achayim Ben Achayim, my father. So as I try to share a little bit of my understanding and appreciation of the Rav, I'm profoundly indebted on many levels to my parents. Bruchim Haboyim B'Shem Hashem, this morning's wonderful gathering is an expression of Kvod Torah and Kvod Shemayim. A whole panoply of feelings and emotions brings us together. Personal memories, feelings of love and reverence, fascination, reverential curiosity, and so much more. The net sum, Kvod Torah V'Shamayim. We seek to reflect upon the Rav Zatzal and his teachings to draw guidance and inspiration. Who was he? As has been mentioned repeatedly, fortunately, the Rav autobiographically addressed our question. I'm a melamed, he was wont to say. Now, it's not always prudent to accept people's self-description and self-definition. Due to a variety of reasons, self-description and self-assessment can easily be skewed. But in the case of the Rav, we would do well to take his words very seriously. He was, inspired by his emunah, a melamed. But what did he teach? First and foremost, he said shiurim. Shiurim replete with his own, his father's, his grandfather's dazzling chidushei Torah on most of Shas. The Torah of Brisk is at once brilliantly, creatively, excitingly new, and yet totally compelling. Mechudosh and muchrach. Rav Schachter once gave a very moving, poignant description and reminiscence, describing that he felt as if the malachim were descending from on high to listen to those beautiful shiurim. With the Rav, every shiur increased Kvod Torah and Kvod Shemayim. His shiurim revealed the brilliance, profundity, and artistry of Divrei Torah. The Rav's place in the annals of Gedolei Yisrael and in Jewish history would be secure based on this accomplishment alone. The Rambam, quoting the Sifri, explains that a component of the mitzvah of Avos Hashem is Sheyehei Shem Shamayim Mis'ahev Al Yodcha, that one should be a source of others loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shem Shamayim was consistently Mis'ahev through the Rav's beautiful Shi'urim. But as impressive as that was and remains, the Rav taught more. In order to appreciate what he taught, we need to understand something about knowledge, about Torah and Chochmah. We perceive Torah, Chochmah, we perceive knowledge and branches of knowledge in a disjointed, fragmented fashion. We know of halacha, we know of Kabbalah, we know of Jewish philosophy, lahavdil, general philosophy, science, so on and so forth. We know of them to the degree that we're familiar with them. We experience them as separate and for the most part unrelated disciplines. The truth, however, is very different. Ultimately, all of knowledge is holistic. One organic whole. Thus, the Gaon of Vilna and others insist that there can never be any discrepancy between Nigla and Nistar, between the revealed exoteric parts of Torah, the hidden esoteric parts of Torah. Istakel bo reisu bora alma chazal talas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah and created the world. Somewhere in the Torah are encoded the laws of physics, the basic principles of chemistry and biology. Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar writes in the Chovos HaLevavos, ki hachochma ואם סימוניה נחלוקים בברואים, היא ביסודו ועיקר האחס. Even though the manifestations of Chochmah are varied, at its root, at its source, Chochmah is one. Kashemesh, similar to the sun, asher hi achas biikoro ubaatzma, the sun is one entity, and nevertheless, umischalkos maros nitzotzeha bishamoshos hanaasos min haschuches halovon vahashochor vahayorok. And yet its rays translate into a whole array of different colors depending upon how they're filtered. To experience and appreciate the holistic richness of Torah, one must, with depth, with clarity and creativity, master the various bodies and branches of knowledge, halacha, Kabbalah, Jewish philosophy, lahavdil, general philosophy, science. Not every generation is blessed with an Odom Godol whose breathtaking creative command of all these disciplines allows him to grasp, experience, and teach Torah holistically. The Rav Zatzal was such a rare individual. Much like the Gemara Nedarim says of Moshe Rabbeinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, and Moshe nohag bo tovas ayin unesono liYisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu acted with a tremendous generosity of spirit And he shared it with the Jewish people, V'olav HaKosav Omer, and about Moshe Rabbeinu, does the Pasuk speak when it says, Tov Ayin Hu Yevorach, that a person of generosity of spirit, he should be blessed. The Rav was a Tov Ayin. He couldn't share his entire holistic panoramic view of Torah. He was too great, and everyone around him, and obviously this is testimony to his greatness, not to anyone else's shortcomings, people around him simply lacked the kelim to be able to receive everything that he had to offer. But he was able to share something of his holistic experience and view. It was this experience of the holistic nature of Torah which generated the Rav's seminal chiddush, the existence of a philosophy of halacha. The remarkable recognition that halacha isn't merely supplemented from without by philosophy and machshava, but that within halacha itself, a rich world of philosophy and machshava resides. Through the lens of the Rav's Torah, mitzvahs, halachic norms and precepts, concretize an underlying halachic philosophy. Mitzvahs, halacha, also objectify personal religious experience. Let us attempt to illustrate and sample the Rav's multidimensional, holistic understanding of halacha. There are many mitzvahs in the Torah of Zechira, remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim, remembering Ma'amad Har Sinai, and so forth. A very simple question begs, that the mitzvah is understandable to the first generation. The first generation experienced these events. What one experiences, one can be held accountable to remember. But how do the mitzvahs speak to us? How does a person remember what he never experienced? So perhaps just to give a little bit of a mashal to pave the way for the Rav's very beautiful answer to this question. Imagine that a Holocaust survivor is confronted by the claims of those Rishoim who seek to deny the Holocaust. And the survivor is asked to rebut those claims, to disprove those claims. He's challenged as to the rationality of his own belief, his own insistence that in fact the Holocaust happened. Do you have documents to prove it? How do you prove your case? So the survivor, rightfully, undoubtedly, would turn around and say, I have no need to prove anything. I lived through it. I experienced it. There's not a day that goes by when I'm not haunted by those memories. I have no need to adduce any external proof. Now imagine that the question is posed not to the survivor himself, but to the survivor's children. And they're equally challenged to respond, to rebut the wicked claims of Holocaust denial. The memories which their parents not only shared with them, but imbued within them, the response is as direct, as immediate, as visceral. parents' memories and experiences become children's memories and experiences. And this understanding of Masorah, which the Rav advanced, not merely of transmission, but symbiotic sharing, happens again and again as every generation imbues its memories into the next generations. Thus, the Rav writes, there's a living past. From this perspective, we do not perceive the past as no more. If you should ask me, says the Rav, to name the halachic category that expresses this particular time experience, I would point at the concept of Masorah. Masorah signifies not only formal transmission of knowledge, mores, laws, and a way of life, it implies an awareness of the togetherness of centuries and millennia, of the unity of time within one experience. In sum, mitzvahs zechira in the Torah reflect an entire philosophy of time, of a past, which of time, not merely as something quantitative, not merely something which exists in a linear direction, but time as something qualitative. Time as something with a past time continues to exist. Mitzvah zechira reflect an experience of time, a personal, immediate experience of time. All these layers are perceived by the Rav within Mitzvah zechira. What we perceive as different branches of knowledge, halacha, abstract philosophy, religious phenomenology, all converge in the Rav's brilliant exposition. Such presentation of Torah, where a little bit of the Rav's holistic understanding and grasp of Torah, he could share with us, fosters even more Kvod Torah and Kvod Shemayim. The multidimensional view of halacha, halacha as concrete norm and mandate, halacha as reflecting profound philosophical propositions, halacha as objectifying, subjective, personal religious experience, teaches and exposes us to the incomparable vitality and vibrancy of halacha. And in fact, a very important facet of the Rav's teaching was the uncovering and explaining of meta-halacha, the axioms of halacha. And this, of course, very much in keeping with his espousal of philosophy of halacha, with his holistic understanding of Torah. To clarify, I don't mean to suggest that the Rav's audience consciously focused on the fact that they were being exposed to philosophy of halacha, or that they consciously focused on the fact that the Rav's philosophy of halacha stemmed from his wonderful holistic grasp of Torah. But nevertheless, there was a very profound effect that these snippets, these novlos hachochma, had on the Rav's audience, two generations of world Jewry. They were exposed to the vibrancy, vitality, which convinced them of the viability of halacha. They were inspired to commit to a life of Talmud Torah and observance. Let's perhaps sample another example of the Rav's teaching of the axioms of halacha alluded to earlier by Dr. Schatz. Self-defeat, says the Rav, is demanded in those areas in which man is most interested, where the individual expects to find the summum bonum, the realization of his most cherished dream or vision. It is precisely in those areas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires man to withdraw. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells man to withdraw from whatever man desires the most. Is there, for example, a more sensitive area in the lives of two young people, man and woman, than their love relationship? Therefore, the principle of self-defeating action must govern the relationship in this area. And the Rav proceeds to quote the Medrash of which he was so fond from Shir HaShirim Rabbah of Suga Bashoshanim. It often happens, the Medrash says, that a man takes a wife when after going to great expense he wishes to associate with her, she says to him, "I have seen a rose-red speck." He immediately recoils. What made him retreat and keep away from her? Was there an iron fence? Did a serpent bite him? Did a scorpion sting him? Only the words of the Torah, which are as soft as a bed of lilies. The Rav taught about the axioms of halacha, the redemptiveness of recoiling, the dignity of defeat. If only religiously confused, self-centered modern man would open himself to this beautiful, inspiring truth, he would cease speaking about insensitivity of halacha, Rahmana Litzlan, and become sensitized to the spirituality of surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A related seminal teaching of the Rav, based on the opening halachos in Hilchos Kriya Shema, where the Rambam amplifies the words of Chazal as to why the mitzvah of Kriya Shema begins with the parasha of Shema, the Rambam says, "Sheyesh bahem yichuda v'ahavasa v'talmuda shoui ha'ika ha'godol shehakol toloi bo." The Rav amplified that Talmud Torah is an act of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. When a person studies Torah, that is an act, an expression of accepting the yoke of Malchus Shamayim. Chazal comment that ein osin nefashos letzadikim that divrayim hein zichronon. On its most basic level, Chazal are telling us that simple biographical data is not important. The Torah taught by the tzadikim is. Possibly there is a deeper level of meaning to this as well. I heard a story once from Rav Goldwicht, the late Rosh Yeshiva of Keren B'Yavna. He was reminiscing about one of his walks with the Rav's uncle, with Rav Velvel. Rav Velvel alluded to the Beis Halevi's answer to the Ibn Ezra's question about how the Torah can legislate lo sachmod. How does the Torah legislate emotion, instinctive reaction? And the Beis HaLevi very famously gives his mashal someone who's obsessed with his love or desire for a certain woman, and he's running across a frozen body of water in her direction, and his mind totally preoccupied, totally obsessed. And then all of a sudden he hears a cracking sound. So what happens to that obsession? What happens to that total preoccupation? The only thing he can think about is that the ice is cracking and the fate that awaits him. So too says the Beis HaLevi. If a person recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no, so then the sense of Yiras HaChet and Yiras HaOnish that a person have should be so great that it chases away any such thought, any such feeling, any such emotion. So Reb Velvel reviewed this famous pshat of his grandfather, and then as Rav Goldwicht recreated, he stopped in his tracks while they were walking, and he grabbed onto his arm, and he says to him, Chaim Yankel, you know, such a pshat you don't say only with the head. Such a pshat comes from the heart. Divrayim hein hein zechronan ein osin nefoshes tzadikim. Divrayim hein hein zechronan. One doesn't memorialize tzadikim. Their words are what constitute their remembrance. So perhaps Chazal also mean that if you want a window into the soul of a tzadik, you want a window into a soul of an Adam Gadol, what provides that window are his Divrei Torah. The Rav explained what the halacha's philosophy of time is that underlies the mitzvos zechira. He explained what the experience of time is that the halachic man partakes of. He explained how Talmud Torah is an act of Kabbalah Solmach HaShemayim and so much more. If we're looking for a window into his soul, it's these Divrei Torah which provide that window and afford a glimpse. Another crucial component of the Rav's teaching and the Rav's legacy was the absolute confidence that he felt and radiated in Torah, in Masorah. My father very trenchantly commented that the Rav's immense erudition notwithstanding, his very liberal use of philosophy and Western sources, nowhere does one find in the Rav's writings, nowhere did one ever hear in his drushes any apologetics. There's no attempt to show that Torah is congruent with Western values. And that for the simple reason that for the Rav, there was nothing problematic about Torah. Torah didn't need to be validated by appeal to any congruence which may or may not exist, any points of congruence. There was nothing problematic about Torah. The Rav's self-description and self-definition that he was a malamed wasn't only an autobiographical reflection. It expressed a credo. And not merely a personal credo, but rather a credo of Yahadus. In every generation, the Torah community is confronted by challenges posed by social, religious, political conditions and mores. Torah is not always in sync with the temper of the times. There are different approaches. Rachmana Litzlan, Torah should bend and accommodate. Torah should be accepted, but Rachmana Litzlan, begrudgingly so. The Rav's absolute emunah in the truth and eternity of Torah didn't allow for such approaches. We must not yield, said the Rav, to the passing charm of a modern political or ideological slogan because of an inferiority complex. I say not only not to compromise, but even not to yield emotionally, not to feel inferior. It should never occur to the one who has accepted Olmach Hashemayim that it's important to cooperate even a little bit with a modern trend or secular modern philosophy. In my opinion, Yahadus does not have to apologize, neither to the modern woman nor to the modern representatives of religious subjectivism. We should have pride in our Masorah. What's the Rav's approach? What's the Torah's approach to challenge posed by contemporary mores and values? To be a Malamed, to teach Torah. Torah is true, Torah is sweet, Torah is beautiful, Torah is profound. The answer to our problems and challenges, to be a Malamed. It is in this context, and only in this context, that the Rav's advocacy for chinuch habanos, for women's education, can be properly understood. The Rav advocated teaching and educating, as the Chafetz Chaim had before him. Undoubtedly, the Rav wrote a stronger prescription with a heavier recommended dosage than did the Chafetz Chaim, but the approach was the same. It was anchored in the Rav's not just autobiographical reflection, but the Rav's credo to be a Malamed. To miss this point, to see any bending or any compromise, sadly, not only misrepresents an individual position of the Rav, it is to totally miss everything the man stood for, everything the man taught. The Rambam writes that the Pshuto Shel Mikra in the Psukim in Parshas Vayeschanan, Ushmatem Vaasisam, Ki Hi Chochmaschem Uvinaschem L'Einei Amim, Asher Yishmu Neis Kol Achukim Ha'ele V'Omu Rakam Chochem V'Novon Hagoy HaGodol Hazeh. The Rambam writes that when we teach Torah, when Torah is presented, Torah is projected, it elicits a reaction, a universal reaction, not only amongst Jews, but beyond as well, of Am Chochem V'Novon Hagoy HaGodol Hazeh. What a wise and discerning people this great nation is. The force of the Rav's majestic, charismatic personality, his brilliant shiurim in halacha, the projection of the vibrancy and vitality, multidimensionalism of halacha, The confidence which he represented and radiated in our Masorah all distilled the message of this Melamed par excellence into a simple phrase well known to all of us. It was a message that his generation and our generation very much needs to hear. It was a message that could only be delivered by someone who spoke authoritatively as he did, someone whose credentials not only as an Adam Gadol in Torah, but someone whose credentials in Chochmah were also unsurpassed. When all is said and done, the Rav's message was, Moshe Emes, Visor Asu Emes.